The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey, how you doing? I'm Frank James Bailey, voice actor and writer. As a voice actor, you might have heard my voice on Channel Frederator videos. As a writer, I've written 3 books about a female superhero named Turkana. And today I want you to join me on the PVD cast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 273. Hope you're doing well out there, and I really appreciate the fact that you're taking a little bit of time out of your day to spend with me and to listen to this great episode. My guest is a fellow podcaster by the name of William Wally. He is the creator of the World of Wally podcast, which is kind of a mix between conversations with guests and William sharing some stories from his own life. And I will tell you 2 things for certain. One, William is one great storyteller. As he spoke, I was absolutely captivated. I'm sure you will be too. And the second thing is that he's got some wild tales. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and give a little sneak peek about one of those stories. William will share that as a teenager, he had a very interesting run-in, so to speak, with some stars from Mid-South Wrestling. And so there you go. For all you wrestling fans out there that listen to me, there you go. You got something to look forward to. But he's a great dude. It was a fun conversation, and I can't wait to get to it. But before we do that, I do have to let you know about my great sponsor, World's Greatest Comics. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. And they have tons of comics, graphic novels, toys, comic book supplies, back issues, posters, various collectibles. Basically, if you're a comic book fan, they got you covered. So stop on over to the store if you're in the Central Ohio area and say hi to the fine folks over there. But if you're out of town, say maybe you live in Mississippi, for an example, you can still check out the store. Jump on their website, wgcomics.com, or follow them on Facebook. Just look for @WGComics, and you can see all the cool things happening at the store. And if you happen to interact with anybody from World's Greatest Comics, whether in person or over the internet, please let them know that you heard about the store from me, John Orlando, right here on the PVD cast. All right, now I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, I sit down with William Wally to talk about podcasting. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this evening, I have the pleasure of sitting down with Mr. William Wally, a fellow podcaster. William, how you doing tonight?
Man, I am fantastic. How are things in Ohio?
Well, things in Ohio is a little cold and a little snowy. We got a couple of inches, and then it stopped, and then we got a couple more inches over a couple of days, so it's been a little treacherous up here.
Yeah, I bet my 29 degrees is not nearly as cold as your 29 degrees.
You know, I was going to ask, and for the folks listening at home, William is in Mississippi. So do you guys get snow?
We get it sporadically. I mean, I've in my 51 years here on this earth, I've seen it. I've actually witnessed snow where I live, the location that I live, 3 times in my lifetime. Oxford, Mississippi, at the university there, the affectionately referred to as Ole Miss. And in 4 years there, I saw it snow 4 times. So,
again, excuse my ignorance. Is Oxford a little bit in the north end of Mississippi?
Oxford, yes. Oxford is halfway between Jackson, Mississippi, which is the capital, and Memphis, Tennessee.
Okay. Okay. Gotcha. I'll put you on the spot real quick, William. I've never been to Mississippi, but okay. If I would come for a vacation, what do I need to see or do?
Depends on what you're looking for. You're not looking for hookers or anything. If you're looking for like family entertainment, you know,
I don't think my significant other, I don't think she would appreciate me coming down looking for hookers. So that's
well, I didn't know what you guys were open to. So probably if the best location that I could probably suggest would be our Mississippi Gulf Coast area. There's a lot of attractions there. They've built that area up quite a bit. The casinos rolled in there about 20 so years ago, and they've done a lot of development around them. So, and not to mention, I mean, the seafood, rivals anywhere else in this part of the world, except probably for the New Orleans area.
All right. You know, I am a history buff too, so I would love to check out some of the history of Mississippi as well.
Probably the best thing to do if you're looking for history, like if you're big into music, you know, of course, Elvis Presley's from the state of Mississippi, and, people like Muddy Waters. If you're a big blues fan, they actually have a blues tour. It's Highway 61. It starts on the southern end of Highway 61. It works its way up to the northern tip of the state, finishes up in, let's see, where does it finish up? It finishes up somewhere up in the northern corner. It actually ends at the stopping point as at a nightclub that is owned by Morgan Freeman.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I did not know Morgan Freeman owned the nightclub.
We could spend like 3 days talking about the significance of the world and the development of culture that originated out of Mississippi, but I don't want to brag. I just let the listeners continue to believe that Mississippi's backwoods and, you know, we're retarded rednecks and all that kind of stuff. It makes it more fun when we're talking about stuff like this.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you right now, William, I was never one that prescribed to that stereotype.
Well, trust me. I know, especially from a Hollywood angle, I've lived here my whole life, and I've never really seen a lot of positivity when it comes to the depiction of folks from the Deep South. So that's why one main reason that I kind of jumped into podcasting, because I wanted to shed a little light on, you know, the whole deal about, showing folks grace and Southern hospitality and, you know, thank y'all for coming, that kind of stuff. And it's been a pretty successful formula so far.
Yeah, let's talk about your podcast. I know we kind of went all over the place there talking a little bit about your home state.
You get off on hookers and you can't get away from them. Well,
so. more ways than one. Anyways, so you are the man behind The World of Wally. So when did you start this podcast?
Sir, my very first episode was January the 27th of 2020.
Okay, so you started just a little bit before all the things went haywire in the world with pandemics and all kinds of other stuff.
Yeah, I had no idea the world was going to come to an end in 2020, or I'd have started sooner.
So why did you decide to start this podcast?
Well, a couple of reasons. One, I have a face for radio. And two, I had plenty of friends that had told me, hey, guy, you got these amazing, crazy stories, stuff that's going on in your life. And I've always enjoyed telling stories and storytelling. If you ask my parents, I was really good at telling stories back then, because I was always trying to get out of some trouble that I'd gotten myself into. But those are the two main reasons. I had friends that reached out to me and said, man, you should like share some of your stories to everybody, not just us. So it was a concept that I'd kicked around for quite a while. And then I tell people all the time, I did everything you could do wrong starting a podcast. I did not pre-promote. I did not think the concept out thoroughly. I did not prepare myself for what it was going to entail to actually produce what I would consider a successful podcast, because I saw a stat somewhere that a podcast that survived 6 months or more would be considered successful. So I didn't prepare for any of that. I actually was sitting around with some friends and family just before Christmas of 2019, And I had a birthday coming up. My birthday was December the 30th, and I was going to turn 51 years old. No, I was going to turn 50 years old. And I thought, you know, I'm not getting any younger. So if I'm going to do this, let's do it. Essentially, a month later, or less than a month later, I actually dropped my first podcast, which was ironically inspired by listening to another podcast episode involving an individual that I've had the good fortune of actually meeting in person, spent a couple of hours in my office with me, a guy named Aaron Rodgers. And like I said, I saw him on a podcast. He was, you know, talking about some struggles and all he'd gone through. And I realized, you know, if I'd have known that, and I had time to talk to him, you know, maybe I could have counseled him a little bit, you know, kind of helped him through it. And I said, you know, that's an outstanding idea for a podcast episode. And, you know, I think I'm at about 80 published episodes right now, and I've probably got another 20 or so episodes that are recorded. Just got to clean them up a little bit and get them ready for release.
It's a story that sounds very similar, William. I had no idea when I started doing this years ago. I had no idea what I was doing. And that's, to me, one of the joys of doing podcasting is not only do you get your voice out there and you get to share your experiences and your stories, but to me, it's a challenge to learn how to do this and how to do it better and whatnot. Do you see it as a challenge, or do you have kind of a different perspective of it?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. It reached a point about 3 months ago, I guess, because see, I'm not a big time podcaster like you are. I'm a very small market guy. And I'm not pulling in the Joe Rogan type money that you are at this point. So I kind of had to make a decision about 3 months ago. I'm like, look, I'm either going to have to like really get locked into this and make it go, or I'm just going to have to step away from it, because I still work a real job, a J-O-B, which means just over broke. And, you know, it's between that and family life and lining up, you know, conversations with folks. I hate to use the word interview. I call them conversations, and having to line up that kind of stuff. And, you know, you need a personal assistant to kind of have to keep up with all that stuff. But when you're a one man band, you have to do everything. You have to do your editing. You have to do your interviews. You have to do everything. And it had become quite taxing. And I just made a decision about 3 months ago. I said, look, I said, well, in 2021, I'm going to go with this thing, and I'm either going to make it go, or we'll just retire graciously and you'll ease off into the sunset. And so far, I'm really starting to polish the process. It's getting a lot easier for me now, because I've learned so much during the process. I told a guy, I was on a show just the other day talking to a guy out of New York. And I told him, we were talking about making mistakes as you go through different processes. And I tried to explain to him that my philosophy on that is, you never really make a mistake if you learn something from that mistake.
Mm-hmm.
The learning process, the knowledge you gain from that misstep is just part of the process. So if you're learning something with every misstep you take, you know, you will be successful. It's just part of the path to success.
Yeah, and I totally agree with you 100% with so many of those points. You know, I also like to call them conversations, because I think an interview is just very stuffy. And, you know, that's what you go to get a job. You go to the job interview. And likewise, I agree as well with, you know, you just got to find that routine that helps you be successful. And if you make mistakes, to me, if you don't learn from them, then they're mistakes.
That's absolutely true. I 100% echo that sentiment. And like I said, the one big mistake that I have made, I've really let down a few of my, what I call my organic listeners, the ones that have been with me from day one. I've kind of let them down. I have a very twisted structure to my podcast. I release single weekly episodes. I do them very structured. So I'm a kid that grew up on television, and I know how structured those seasons were. So I have a 24-episode season. So see, I just recently started a new season. Mm-hmm. And I keep promising my organic listeners, look, I'm going to share more of my own stuff. I really am. I promise you. And I've worked diligently to try to work more and more stuff in. Like, for example, I have two, and I probably will have I pretty much the season that I'm in now is pretty much in the can. It's just a matter of some edits and you know, preparing to publish. And I've got two already, and we'll probably have a third episode of just some of my own personal stuff, just crazy stuff that happened to me through a vocational experience or a friend that I met that, you know, one of those friends that you can't get rid of no matter how hard you try, that kind of stuff. So I'm going to work diligently to try to get more of that stuff in, because like I said, I've been fortunate enough to survive through a lot of stuff that honestly should have killed me and everybody around me, just retarded stuff that we did when we were younger that we probably shouldn't have. And then I've been really fortunate to work in a lot of, I've had a pretty diverse vocational life, because I mean, I've done everything from working in corrections at a maximum security prison to working event security at concerts and festivals and, you know, venued events and all that kind of stuff. That kind of stuff has afforded me the opportunity to meet people that wanted to kill me and people that back when I was young, I would kill far to have met. And it's kind of centered me. I don't get starstruck like I used to. Like I'll be talking to somebody, you know, having a conversation for my show, and it's somebody that I really, really was a huge fan of. And, you know, still am a huge fan, but I don't let that get to me. Like I'm not blown away. I'm not a fanboy, I guess it'd be. I try my very best not to be a fanboy. Sometimes I, you know, even as an old guy, I catch myself fanboying on some folks every now and then.
So you worked in a correctional facility?
I did. Well, off and on, I worked in four separate facilities. If you added them all up, I worked about 14 years in correction.
What is, like, what's a typical day when you go to work at a maximum security prison, if I may ask?
Well, it all depends. And I said maximum, it was actually a medium. We house some maximum security inmates, but it was actually a medium security prison.
Okay.
The status was medium security. It all depends on what you were doing. At that particular facility, I was actually a lieutenant, which means I was over about 40 officers. I was more of a, you know, making sure the rules and regulations are being followed, but I was still walking. I was still walking the halls. I was still walking the housing zones and you know, I was making sure, you know, regulating food distribution, all that kind of stuff. I spent about 7 or 8 months of my time at that particular facility, where I oversaw all the activities of what they would consider the lockdown. When you hear the term lockdown, it was called administrative segregation is what it was called, but the slang term out on the street is they were in lockdown. They were in the, you've seen the movies where they have the guys in the single cells and, you know, with the locks and the keys and all that kind of stuff. And I was over 120 inmates in a spot that was about I don't know, it was probably the size of a high school gymnasium. It was pretty crazy. I mean, I've been spit at, spit on. I've had feces thrown at me, you know, urine thrown on me. I was set on fire.
What? Wait, whoa.
Let me explain. He didn't. Sure. I wasn't like somebody did not like take a cigarette lighter or something and set me on fire. He actually set a tray, like a meal tray. He actually got it burning, and then he hurled it out the little feeder trap hole that they got. You've seen the little drop-down holes.
Yeah.
And he actually hurled it out the hole down the catwalk, and I just happened to be coming down that way as we were feeding, and it struck me as it went by, and the plastic that had melted actually set my pants on fire. That's when I say I got set on fire. That's what actually happened, so.
You sir are one brave man, because I that story alone scared the crap out of me.
Well, I've had some. Oh, matter of fact, I still you know, there's a lot of gang activity in different facilities. You probably know that if you watched any kind of television at all. And I guess to this day, there is a street gang or street / prison gang from our area down here that they're based out of the Memphis, Tennessee area. That's where they're based out of. Well, anyway, I had a run-in with an inmate that was one of their, I guess you'd call him a lieutenant. He'd be like a lieutenant rank within their organization. And he threatened to kill me. And, you know, that's no big deal. I mean, I've probably had 10 or 15 death threats in 14 years. And so it didn't really bother me that much. But then when they moved him, he was being moved from the facility I was at to another facility after he had been sentenced. And when they were, cleaning the room out, when they were shaking, you know, we do what's called a shakedown, where they actually sweep the room to make sure there's nothing left behind. As one of the trustees, one of the inmates that's considered a trustee, after he moved the mattress to take it back to the intake so they could store it, a shank, improvised weapon, it's referred to as a shank. I know you're probably familiar with that term also.
Mm-hmm.
Actually fell out of the mattress. It had been stored in the mattress. And it fell out of the mattress. And on the handle part that he had made, it was wrapped in some form of tape. It actually had my name written on it.
Oh.
So, which it was misspelled. You know, he didn't spell my name right, which a lot of folks do that. That ticks me off. Then that guy, even after he got to the new facility, got word back to one of his little street soldiers that was at the facility I was still at to let me know that it was not going to be safe for me to walk the streets anywhere in the world. And, so I guess technically I have what they call a KOS. It's kill on sight is what that stands for. But I guess technically, and that's been, I don't know, 12 or 13 years ago. I guess technically, or probably in the Memphis area especially, it's not safe for me to be out because, you know, those don't go away, I've been told. SOS and KOS, which is smash on sight and kill on sight. Those, if those are ever put on you, they technically, I guess, never go away.
Wow.
It's just a day in the life.
Wow, William, that's just some heavy duty stuff. I just got to be honest.
Well, see, what aggravates me about that situation is I hear so many people that have so much animosity toward law enforcement. And if they only knew what it was like to walk in the boots of an actual law enforcement or a corrections officer, you know, about how inhumane people are treated on the street and inside the facilities, you have no idea what you're going through. So if you walked with me one day in a facility, you change your mind forever about inmate treatment and police interaction. So,
mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's get back to podcasting.
Sorry, boss. I didn't mean to. You started this. You jumped off on this crazy. I'm sorry.
No. That's all right.
Let me refocus. What were we talking about?
Well, let's talk a little bit about you. You were mentioning some of the success that you've had, and I saw that on Podmatch, you have been named one of the top 10 hosts a couple of times over the last few months.
I'm going to be honest with you. I actually stumbled across Podmatch. I want to say I might have even Google searched something about podcasting, and Podmatch came up. And so I tried it. You know, I looked it up. I checked their credentials, and I mean, they looked to be pretty legit. And then I noticed some of the people that they were offering as guests. So I reached out to a few of them, and I was really fortunate. I got a lot of them. I got a lot of responses, and I started. I've met some amazing people through it. It is a guest host matching. So it's sort of like match.com, but it's not relationships. It's podcasts is what it is. Mm-hmm. I've also worked with a service called podcastguest.com. And I'm going to tell you, they're amazing. Also, you were talking about Podmatch. The episode that I've got dropping Friday is a Super Bowl related, you know, it's a Super Bowl weekend football related. I had the privilege of speaking to a gentleman. Matter of fact, he is based out of your area. Now, where exactly in Ohio are you at?
I am dead center, Columbus, Ohio, the state capital.
Well, he has a business, a security firm right in Columbus, Ohio, as a matter of fact. His name is Aaron Sean Harper, and he is the owner and proprietor of that business. And he started that business after 7 years in the NFL. So I got an opportunity to sit down and talk to him, and we talked about how he first got started in football and how he what his NFL experience was like, and he ended up going to NFL Europe, which a lot of you listeners, younger listeners, don't even know what NFL Europe is. But he went over to NFL Europe, and he was talking about NFL Europe was sort of like reality television, because you just couldn't believe the trouble you could get in Europe, because the NFL was really loose on kind of regulating NFL players over there. And it was just an amazing conversation. He's a motivational speaker type guy. I mean, he does a lot of work with a lot of corporations and all, and he's just, that's the type of guest that I've been fortunate enough to get matched up with. And I was shocked. You were talking about it's been twice. I was shocked. In December, I was named like the top 10. I think I made the top 10. I was number 10, top 10 host for their service. And then this past month in January, I was eighth, which I didn't really know how impressed to be by those numbers until I actually pulled up a little algorithm they got running within their program. And there's 688 podcasters that use that service on average every month. I was a little taken back by that, because I couldn't believe I actually cracked the top 10 with that many podcasters using the service. So
yeah, that's a heck of an accolade to have on your resume, so to speak.
Yeah, I tell you, I'm gonna mess around and update my LinkedIn profile if I can remember the password, and I'm definitely going to put that on there.
Well, can we talk real quick about Ridgewood Recording Studios? Because I noticed while looking up at your Facebook page that you give a lot of props to Ridgewood Recording Studios. So,
Ridgewood Recording Studios is a kind of a. When I talk about things like this, I love to infuse my faith in the conversations, but I don't force my faith on anybody.
Okay.
And you've heard people say that was a God thing. Well, that was a God thing, because I was introduced to a gentleman named Timothy Davis. I actually was introduced to him through my church service. He just came as a worship pastor at our church. He and I sat down and got to talking. I told him about my podcast. He got to listening to some episodes. He was really impressed with it, because he and I are pretty close in age. So a lot of my guests, especially some of my retro guests, really resonated with him, kind of took him back to his childhood and his early teens. So he sat me down one day and he said, "Hey, man," he said, I got something I want to do if you're interested in it." And I said, "What's that?" He said, "What if you and I work out a deal? What if you kind of plug my recording studio on your show?" He said, "And in return, I'll give you open access to my studio." And I said, "Really?" I said, "That sounds like a fantastic idea." So starting, I think I recorded 2 or 3 episodes in my previous season there, and then everything I've done so far in season 4, which is the season I'm in right now, has been done at Ridgewood. The Ridgewood, actually, that's the actual community that he and I both live in. Like, he literally lives a half a block from me. So it's even made it more convenient for me to be able to go to a actual quality recording studio setup and do this stuff. And I had to pay for it, because I bet you can attest to a recording studio cost are quite pricey.
Oh, yes.
Incredibly pricey. So when he was kind enough, to open that opportunity to me, I felt fortunate. And I told him that I would, he would always get, plugs from me because of that. Because like I said, that's just something he didn't have to do, but he chose to do, and I can't be more thankful for it.
I'm going to interrupt my conversation with William for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. They're a proud sponsor of the PVD Cast, and they're your one-stop shop for all of your comic book-related needs. They've got single issues, graphic novels, collections, toys, collectibles, posters, back issues, comic book supplies. I mean, basically, they pretty much got everything for your fandom. So check them out online at wgcomics.com, or you can find them on Facebook. Just search for @WGComics. And better yet, if you happen to be in Central Ohio, stop on over to the store. It's located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. And if you interact with anybody from the store, either online or in person, let them know that you heard about the store from me, John Orlando, on the PVD Cast. Well, can you maybe narrow down one of your favorite guests that you've had on your show?
Oh, Lord, favorite guest. I don't know if I can really narrow it down. I have actually been surprisingly inspired by quite a few of them. Just a few that kind of pop in my mind would be a young lady that, matter of fact, I just interviewed 2 weeks ago. She'll be featured later on in this season. Her name is Orly Wahba, W-A-H-B-A. She's actually a New Yorker, but she lives in Jerusalem right now. And she runs a nonprofit called Kindness Boomerang is the actual initiative that she is part of. And she was just amazing. I mean, she and I could have sat and talked for hours. She was just one of those guests that kind of everything that came out of her mouth just inspired me in some way. If I go back a little while in some of my interviews, Jack O'Halloran is one that jumps off the page at me. Jack and I could have talked, because Jack O'Halloran, for those that don't know who that is, Jack O'Halloran was featured in a few movies back in the day, the original King Kong movie, or the 1978 version of King Kong, not the original. He was also in Superman 1 and 2, late in 1, and he was featured throughout the entire Superman 2 movie. And we got an opportunity. He wrote a book, and it talks about some real American history. I'm not talking about that sugar-coated crap that they teach you in school. It talked about some real, like, mob connections to the government and all that kind of stuff. And he and I could have just sat and talked forever. He really, you know, that guy just really jumped off the page at me with some of the stuff that he was sharing. Sean Kanan, not only a fan favorite, but he's a favorite of mine. Sean, one of the most just absolute intellectual. It's just amazing. The guy learned Mandarin Chinese during the pandemic the past time. That's the kind of guy that he is. You know, I ran into him for the first time on a movie screen back during Karate Kid 3. He played the antagonist to Ralph Macchio. He was the Mike Barnes character. Mm-hmm. And when he and I talked about Cobra Kai, and he adamantly denied that he knew nothing about him getting an opportunity to go on there. And then I find out this season that he's going to appear. So he and I had a little chat about that afterwards. Yeah, it's like, yeah, sure, you didn't know that. You could have dropped that on World of Wally. That would have been quite a little teaser. And like I said, I mean, I've had so many. And then from just a local, just kind of my hometown folks, I got the opportunity to interview a young man named Kobe White that I have literally known since he was, you know, 2 years old. Matter of fact, I coached him in Little League Baseball. That's how far he and I go back. And he sat down and we went through the whole process of how the love of, you know, this love of baseball that he had, well, that he ends up not getting any kind of scholarship opportunities. He goes to a JUCO, and then Mississippi State University in Starkville, Mississippi reaches out to him. He ends up pitching for them. He gets drafted by the Tampa Bay Rays. He's humble. He's a hard worker. He deserves everything he gets. So he is one of those small town success stories that especially my little state is full of. I mean, mm-hmm. because there's so many small communities in Mississippi that if I could just put together a series of those kind of kids, I'd have a standalone podcast just on those small town success stories. So that'll always be probably my favorite episode of all time, but it's because I have such a personal connection to it.
Absolutely understandable. Do you have maybe like a dream guest, William? If there was one person in, you know, all boundaries are removed, if there's one person you'd like to sit down with and have a conversation with, who would that be?
One person. Oh, that'd be that living or dead deal. Living or dead, yeah. Who would you like to talk to? I don't know that there's one particular person. Like I said, I was a kid that grew up on a lot of 80s television and 80s movies. There's probably plenty of folks I'd love to sit down and have a conversation with. I'm a huge Green Bay Packers fan. And I know that's hard to be in Mississippi. Trust me, it's hard. I catch flack because I'm supposed to be a Saints fan or a Falcons fan, and I can't stand either one of them. Living or dead, here's one for you. Living or dead, I'd actually love to sit down and have the opportunity to have a conversation with Vince Lombardi.
Okay.
Because I'm telling you, I can't imagine, just from some of the audio that they were able to archive, through NFL Network, he and I would probably have to spend a whole day recording, though, because it wouldn't be right. We'd have to start back over.
Mm-hmm.
He'd be constantly coaching me as we're having a conversation. So we'd have to start over. It might take 3 days to get like a 30-minute, conversation out of him.
Yeah. He was known as being a little bit of a perfectionist as well.
Yeah. Well, he wasn't known as a little bit of a perfectionist. He was, yeah.
But he was full blown.
Because I'm a huge sports fan, and I he's probably one that would, and I understand, that's a living or dead. Who would you like to? That would probably be one. There's plenty of folks I'd love to talk to, but that would be a real treat. It really would, because, like I said, through some of my vocational stuff, like I said, I'm a Packers fan. I've had the opportunity to meet, because of one of the jobs I had, the event security job, I actually had a chance to meet every living quarterback, every living Green Bay quarterback, except Lynn Dickey. That's the only one, because Lynn Dickey lives up your way, and I never got an opportunity to speak to him. But I got a chance to meet and speak to Brett Favre. I got a chance to meet and speak with Aaron Rodgers. I got a chance to meet and speak with Bart Starr. I mean, it was just a treat, man. I tell you, my life is so blessed right now. If I went around thanking half the people that made me who I am to this point, it'd take me probably a year and a half of just naming off names. So, and like I said, that's another good reason to have a podcast, because if you got plenty of stories to tell because of the blessings that you've received, you won't ever be short on material. That's for sure.
Most definitely. So, William, what do you like to do when you're not podcasting? Like when you just have downtime, what do you like to do?
What do I like to do? Well, I tell you what I don't like doing. I don't like going to work. I wish I could. I wish I could hit the Powerball, the big lottery payout, the nationwide Powerball.
Yeah.
And then I could just sit back and chill for a while. I love to have one thing that I'm learning the older I get is family time is so precious. And I do love to spend time with my family every chance I get. We don't get a hold because all three of my kids are essentially grown up. My youngest one is 21 years old. And so they're all grown, doing their own things. We don't get a whole lot of chance to just hang out together. So when I get moments like that, I cherish them, and I prioritize them over everything else. I love to sit and watch sports. I'm a big football, baseball. I love baseball. Grew up playing baseball. Was was recruited to play baseball in college. So baseball is my favorite. Football is a close second. I'm a big wrestling fan. I grew up on old school wrestling, and I'm pretty aggravated with the direction it's headed now. But I could sit and watch old wrestling videos for hours. So I just, like I said, when I'm got downtime, I just like to be down. I don't like to do a whole lot because time is so precious that I don't want to waste it, but just sometimes you just got to climb up on the bed and turn the TV on and just relax for a while.
Well, I have to ask, growing up in Mississippi, if you were a wrestling fan, would that have been the old Mid-South territory with Bill Watts?
That is correct. Matter of fact, a funny quick story. I know we don't have a lot of time.
Sure.
When I was 14 years old, which is not the legal working age in the state of Mississippi, but don't tell anybody because they'll lock my uncle up, and don't do that because he's like 85 years old now. he had a local service station, and I was working the night shift this summer, and I was working the night shift and had a big wrestling event at the local high school, which was pretty close to where the station's at. And it must have been about, I was working a midnight to 8 shift, midnight to 8 a.m., and it must have been about 3 o'clock in the morning. And as you can imagine, not a lot of traffic coming through at 3 o'clock in the morning in a place that rolls up the sidewalks at dark. So this big black limousine rolls up And this is before I knew anything about kayfabe and all this kind of stuff. So this big black limousine pulls up, and door flies open. Big billow of smoke comes, pouring out of it. The very distinct smell of pine trees or something similar to that, lost up from out of the car. And this enormous black guy climbs out. And I do mean enormous. I'm talking broad-shouldered monster. And I thought he looked kind of familiar, but I didn't say anything. Well, then this flaxen-haired fella hops out with his golden blonde locks, with his big smile, and he's talking 1,000 miles an hour. And I said, I know that guy looks familiar, because they were getting out and walking away from me, because I was outside and they were going into the store. It was the two of us. Let's see, I'm trying to think who all was in the car. It ended up being, this is who was in the car when it was all said and done, when they piled out and piled back in. It was Junkyard Dog, Ric Flair, Kandar Akbar, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and Dr. Death Steve Williams. That's who climbed out of that car and then climbed back in it after they went in and got some rolling papers and some cold beer.
Wow.
And that was it. Now think about this. That was those guys in a place the size of, at that time, the little town I live in, Columbia, Mississippi, probably had, 8,000 or 9,000 people in it. They were working a gymnasium that, max capacity probably would have held 1,500 people, probably had closer to about 300 there that night. And these were major stars of the territory. And they were working these little venues like that. And that's old school wrestling there. I mean, that's old school. You couldn't get guys to work venues now, with 10,000 in it, much less, 1,000. So, I have two memories of my grandfather, my mom's dad, because he died when I was 5 years old, he died. And, I remember every Saturday morning, or every Saturday afternoon, actually, from 12:30 p.m. to 1:30 p.m., this mild-mannered, hard-working older gentleman, I'm talking, he was into his 70s now, we would come in from working out in the garden or whatever we were doing out there with him. I was five. I wasn't doing a whole lot of hard work, but anyway, I was out there with him. And we'd slice up a tomato, and we'd eat a tomato sandwich, and he'd drink a glass of milk, and I'd drink a glass of like Coke or something. And while we were doing that, we were sitting in front of that television watching the ABC affiliate off the Mississippi Gulf Coast broadcast Mid-South Wrestling. And for that 1 hour, two things did not happen. You did not interrupt him, and you did not tell him wrestling was fake. That is two things you did not do, because that mild-mannered old man would absolutely go crazy on you if you did. The two memories, that was those, the tomato sandwiches and watching wrestling every Saturday with him. From the time I was, my first memory of doing that was I was like 3 years old, and that we did it right up to within 6 months of when he passed away.
That's the great part about being a fan of wrestling, or actually being a fan of anything, is those close personal connections you can make. Yeah, definitely. Yep. I totally understand that wholeheartedly. Well, William, we are getting up there on time a little bit here. So
I know, boss. That's why I was trying to talk as fast as I could.
That's all right. You know what, William? I may have to have you come back on, and we could talk some more Mid-South wrestling, because that was always in my wheelhouse. I loved world-class wrestling, Mid-South wrestling.
Oh, yeah. You talking about Devon Erichs and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
Matter of fact, in one of my other vocational endeavors, and we can talk about this if you decide to have me back on, but I worked three or either four venues that actually had like WWE and WCW events.
I've
had a chance to run into some folks.
Okay, you got it. We're gonna have to make that happen. But in the meantime, do you have any upcoming episodes you would like to tell folks about?
Well, the one I got coming out Friday, like I said, was Sean Harper's my guest. He was a 7-year pro in the NFL, runs a very successful security firm in your area in Columbus, Ohio now. The title of it is The X's and O's of Success with Sean Harper. That's the one that will come out Friday. My season is just getting started. So as you're checking that episode out, if you want to jump on a few of my earlier season four episodes, my season four episode started off in January with a gentleman named Jeff Allen, a comedian, pretty well-known guy. He did a lot of dry bar comedy stuff. It's called The America I Grew Up In. That's actually what his punchline, that's like his phrase, his punchline. Really fantastic episode. We talked about family and faith and you know, just funny. And it was my life. He gets up on stage and talks about my life, and I told him I should sue him because he owes me some kind of money for that. and then I had a gentleman named Ed Christie, that went from a drug addict, paranoid that the FBI was trying to, you know, to kick his doors in and take him to prison. And now he works as a ambassador, like a community ambassador for the FBI, works along beside him. Amazing guy, amazing story. And the episode I just had this past Friday, young lady, she's 80 years old, named Lois Hollis, and we discussed two things that hold everybody back, which is shame and guilt. And when I first sat down with her, when we first started talking about this episode, I thought, this is going to be a hard episode to do, but as me and her got to talking, the episode just flowed, and she made some very valid points about the only reason that we have issues moving forward or having success in our life is because shame and guilt keep popping up in our life, and we don't know how to get past it. Those are my last four episodes, three previous, and then the one I got coming up Friday, and I'm super excited about this upcoming season. I've got some guests that are coming on that are just absolutely, they take me back to my childhood. They're going to take a lot of my listeners back to their childhood, and they're just fun. I mean, I've had a blast with a lot of these interviews that I've done these past few weeks, trying to get this season kind of in the can. So,
and where can folks find The World of Wally?
Well, sir, you can literally find The World of Wally on any podcast platform that you seek it on. All you have to do is search for World of Wally. The only one that I know that I'm not on is Pandora, and I got a real issue with Pandora, so don't go to Pandora, but anywhere else you can find it. You also can find it at anchor.fm/World of Wally. If you can't find it there, if you'll check out my Facebook page, which is World of Wally, easy to search also. I leave a lot of my quick links to where you can just click straight on it, you know, and go straight to it. And then on Instagram, you also can follow me there. It's WorldOfWally_official.
All right. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Check out William's podcast, The World of Wally. William, thank you so very much for taking a little bit of time out of your evening to sit down and chat with me. And I mean it. We're going to sit down. We're going to talk some old school wrestling here sometime in the near future.
Hey, sounds like a winner, man. I had a blast. I can't thank you enough. Hey, for your listeners, man, y'all keep checking this guy out. He's amazing.
Thank you very much. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, my conversation with William Wally, talking about his podcasting career. And it was a pleasure to have William on, and I hope you enjoyed our conversation. And if you did, you can let me know through a couple different avenues. You could shoot me an email if you'd like. johnorlando@pvdcast.com is the email address. You can find me on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is @PVDMVP. You could even leave me a message over on the Facebook and Instagram feeds of the PVDcast. Simply just look for @PVDcast. And I want to let you know where you can find this wonderful podcast, just in case you want to tell somebody about it. Well, the easiest place to find it is PVDcast.com, the online home of yours truly. But it's also available through all of those major podcasting outlets, such as Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, iHeartRadio app. Basically, go to your favorite podcasting platform, put in PVDcast, sometimes you have to put my name after it, in the search engine, and you should be able to find it. And if you listen to an episode, please don't forget to rate and review. That helps me out in the algorithm, and subscribe so you never miss a single episode. And also, don't forget about the live broadcast that I do through the week on Monday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, through the PVDcast Facebook page. I do a live broadcast of this week's episode. And then it's replayed the following day, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, through the Scene Snobs Facebook page. And you should check out the Scene Snobs Network. Just go over to thescenesnobs.com. They got tons of content, some great podcasts that you should listen to. Check those guys out. They're a good crew running a good podcasting network. Well, it's about time for me to pack things up, so I'm going to get on out of here. Thanks for listening, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, stay safe and healthy. Been a production of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2021.